Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verses 10 to verse number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verses 10 to 12. The Bible says here, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 10 to 12, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10 to 12 is about giving. Chapter 8 is all about giving, and concerns the giving of the church at Corinth. Now, about a year ago, since the writing of this epistle, a year before Paul wrote this epistle, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 16 and we'll have a look there. There was a bit of a commitment made by the church at Corinth to assist the poor saints there at Jerusalem. And the church made a commitment, and it's discussed here in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints," that's the saints at Jerusalem, "as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Okay, and if it be meet that I all go also, they shall go with me." Now, we're not 100% sure as to why the poor saints at Jerusalem were poor. Okay, could have been due to the persecution, could have been due to the famine, which was prophesied, I believe, by Agabus. I can't off the top of my head. But anyway, in the book of Acts, there was a prophecy of a famine that would come. And that could have been the cause of this, you know, this poverty that struck the church at Jerusalem. But nevertheless, Paul instructed the church at Corinth to get involved, and they had a heart to get involved to help these poor saints down there at Jerusalem. And they wanted to get involved also, as the churches of Galatia were to get involved. And when we come into 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, Paul readdresses this collection that was meant to be gathered upon the first day of the week and taken to the poor saints at Jerusalem so that they could be relieved of their poverty. There had been a problem. The problem was that verse 10 indicates that, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before," so they had commenced already, "not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." They had a heart a year ago to give. They had the desire to give, and they had commenced, in a sense. Perhaps they started a few Sundays, making a little collection on the side. But somewhere along the line, the church at Corinth had failed to fulfill that which they had desired to do. And Paul addresses them here and says in verse 11, concerning this church's complication, he explains a little bit further. And he says, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." Verse 12, "For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Now the church was instructed by Paul to perform the doing of it. And Paul was simply saying to the church, you got to finish what you started. It's no good that you start preparing an offering for a brethren over there in Jerusalem, but you don't perform the doing of it. If you have the desire to do it, you need to perform the doing of it. And that's what I called the message tonight, is perform the doing of it. Perform the doing of it. They had a desire, they had started, but they had not finished what they had committed to do. And there was no excuses. They couldn't say, well, we're waiting for the fund to get a little bit bigger. Because he says there in verse number 11, "Now perform the doing of it," and he says, "so that there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." He's saying what you have, just do something with what you have. There's no excuses here. We're just raising funds as an offering, and not by a fundraising program, but by free will offerings to give to the church at Jerusalem, the poor saints. Just perform it. Now you can't say, well, I'm waiting until, you know, I finish my house and this and that. If you have a desire to do it, do it. Again, he says in verse 12 here, Therefore, if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God is not expecting them to give something that they don't have. He's just simply saying, if there's a willingness of mind to do it, just give out of what you have. Because there was no excuses here for the church at Corinth as to why they did not complete what they first commenced to do and had started to, I guess, make a promise, as it were, at least a commitment to the church there at Jerusalem and the poor saints that were struggling there. Now, God wasn't looking for an amount. He was looking for an action. The church got it mixed up, thinking, well, we'll maybe think about an amount. We're not sure. We're not told exactly. But the reality is God wasn't looking for an amount. He was looking for an action. He says, you have a willing mind and a ready heart, but you're not performing that which you have desired in your heart to do. And this is where the challenge came to the church at Corinth. Now, the admonition, now therefore perform the doing of it, simply means now therefore accomplish the doing. What you had so desired to do, just do what you said you would do. And I want to just draw a principle that is so crucial for us as Christians today, is that we are to do what we have desired to do, what God has so led us to do. It's not good for us to make commitments that we don't follow through with. It's not good for us to make dedications and vows and commitments and promises and not fulfill that which we have said we will do. This is a serious problem in Christendom today, is that there is a lot of willingness but very little doing. You can hear it all throughout Christendom today. You go through any average church and there'll be a lot of talk about things that people want to do for Christ and what we're committing to do as a church and what we're committing to do as a people and what we're committing to do in our homes and in our houses and with our families, but there's no performance of it. What we're committing to do in our New Year's resolution, but the challenge is not make a New Year's resolution. The challenge is perform the doing of it. Let's just get to action with that which we have willed to do and what God has so led us, I guess, in our desires to do. Now, delight thyself in the Lord and he shall give thee the desires of our heart. As we walk in the light of God's word and in his will, we find that within our hearts come desires that are the desires of God, should I say, within our hearts. And God puts them there. And as God puts them there and they become our desires, it's important that not only we make a commitment, but we fulfill the commitment that we have made unto the Lord. And you can examine your own hearts about this, but what is it in your life that you have committed to do and have not done it? What is it in your life that you had said, Lord, I will do this, but it's been just mere talk and no action? And there is no real excuses as to that, biblically speaking. There are poor saints at Jerusalem that are waiting for an offering that was promised to them. Where's the beef? Okay, where's the beef? This is what we need. We need Christianity that's more than just talk. It's going to do that which we have desired to do. The problem with our hearts, brethren, is that our hearts are deceitful. And this is one of the ways that our heart deceives us. It equates a desire with an action. That's a deception of the heart. It equates a desire with an action. We almost sometimes feel justified that we have now done what God expects us to do because we've just desired what he desires for us to do. And we get satisfied. You know how it's like. You hear a sermon on Sunday and you get challenged by the word of God. And there in your seat, you make a commitment to the Lord. And you walk out of there and you feel satisfied because you've submitted your will to God. But the reality is you haven't yet performed the doing of it. The reality is that will has to come into action if God is going to get behind you and help you. But the reality is most of God's people go about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday feeling satisfied that they made a commitment in their seat, but there's been no action and no fruit of it. And then they come back next Sunday and they get challenged again and they're like, yes, commitment again. And they feel good about the commitment, but the commitment is not the action, brethren. You understand that? God doesn't bless, as it were, the willingness. He blesses the action. God doesn't rejoice in just the commitment, but he rejoices in the fulfillment of that which has been desired in the heart. But we can find ourselves to have that deception. When I went to a church, and this church was, I guess you could say, big on the altar calls. And when I first went to this church, I would just every Sunday I would just come down to the front and, you know, make a commitment to the Lord about something, and the next Sunday I'd get up and make a commitment to the Lord, and just every week make a commitment to the Lord. But I found something seriously wrong with my Christianity, is that I was making commitments but I wasn't fulfilling them. It's almost like I went there, made a commitment at the altar, but left my commitment at the altar and then went out satisfied that I had done business with God. But the reality was, I haven't done business with God until I've done the action. All right, the Corinthian church hadn't done business with God and hasn't yet fulfilled and basically been pleasing to God because of their mere commitment. They would be pleasing to God when they gathered the funds that were needed for the poor saints at Jerusalem. So perform the doing of it. And then I realized later that God gave me a wife to help me perform the doing of it. Amen. Do you remember that commitment you made, sweetie? Yeah, thank you, darling. Thank you, darling. Yeah, I remember that. And then your flesh starts to go like that. I didn't forget, but yes, I did forget. Okay. But yes, God allows us to have people in our lives to help us perform the doing of it. Amen. A bit of accountability, and we need that. We do. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. I want to look at a few people that had a willingness but didn't perform the doing of it. Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. So that's a good will, isn't it? That's a good desire. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And by the, I guess, the impression of the passage, we understand that this man was no longer willing, or should I say that his willingness just ended because he had to perform the doing of it. All right, and let's look at this one again in just verse number 61. The guy, verse 59 to 60 is another man, but this is a man that Jesus says, follow me. But this is another man in verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plough, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Once again, a man having a desire, but a desire is not enough. From my understanding, these two men were not true disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, simply because they weren't willing, or not willing, sorry, they did not perform that which they were willing to do. And just because we're willing, it doesn't mean that God is satisfied with our lives. Now, I want you to look at Exodus chapter 19. This was the problem of the children of Israel. They were very willing at times to do a lot of things for the Lord. But the reality was they did very little for the Lord in the years that they spent there in the wilderness. They probably did more complaining than they did rejoicing. And let's go to Exodus chapter number 19. And we'll consider here a passage that is the same. Exodus chapter number 19, verses 5 down to verse number 8. This is about the time when the Lord, when Moses is coming up to the mount and descending, coming up, and he's basically communing with God and about to receive the Ten Commandments upon the mount. But look at verse number 5. It says here, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Moses receives from God, and Moses talks to the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And I want you to look at verse number 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now, up until this part of your Bible reading, you will rejoice and say, amen. There's been a commitment. Because for most of us, we're thinking that this commitment's going to be followed through with. But by the time Moses comes down from the mountain, my friend, we know it's a whole other story. All that the Lord has told thee, we will do. Make a golden calf? Is that what you willed to do? You see, all that the Lord had spoken, we will do. A man said this, bold and self-confident language. The golden calf, the broken tablets, the neglected ordinances, the stoned messengers. O Jerusalem, 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 thou that killest the prophets and stonest them. The rejected and crucified Christ are all overwhelming evidences of a man's dishonored vows. And that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. All that the Lord has told us that we will do. What a commitment. We're just going to help these poor saints at Jerusalem. Well, how about we perform the doing of it? When the rubber meets the road, what's going to happen there, brethren? When that commitment comes in challenge, into a place of challenge, or in a place of performance, what is the response of our hearts? This is the challenge. Go to James chapter number 2, verse number 14 to 17. James chapter number 2. We've got a few more examples. James chapter 2, verse 14 to verse number 17. What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful for to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. What benefit is it if you see a brother hath need and you have a desire for them that they would get their needs supplied for, but you don't give them and perform the doing of your desire? And he's saying we must perform the doing of it. Best wishes, desire, and eager willingness are no substitute for good deeds, brethren. Just because we have a desire, it doesn't mean it substitutes the reality of our doing. We must do that which the desire, which comes from that good desire in our hearts. Let's go to 1 John. I'll read this to you. 1 John 3, 17 and 18. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Just saying, I love you is not enough. Just expressing a desire of love to a brother or a sister is not enough. Let us love not only in word, but in deed and in truth. Let there be an action that flows from that desire that shows that you are somebody that is truly committed to your words that you say before the Lord and before the brethren. This has to be the disposition of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, we can deceive ourselves as to think that we are spiritual because of our desires. Desires are good, but if they're not performed, we are not spiritual in the eyes of God. You can desire great things to do for God, but unless we commence to proceed to do that which God has put in our hearts, we are still disobedient to what God has placed in our hearts. We see this today in our lives many ways. We talk about many things, but we don't do them. We say that we will have more prayer, and this year we're going to commit to more prayer. But my friend, until you pray more, you actually are not performing the doing of it, and it's really of not much value in the eyes of the Lord. We talk about prayer, but who prays? We talk about love, but who is making the sacrifices? We talk lots about witnessing, but who's throwing out the lifeline? Okay, lots about the Spirit, but who's walking in the Spirit? We talk lots about serving, but who's washing the disciples' feet? We talk lots about the will of God, but are we doing the will of God from the heart as the Bible says that we ought to be doing? And just because we say these things and desire these things, my friend, we are not pleasing in the eyes of God. And until we put, just translate that talk and that desire into action, then God will be pleased with our sacrifice. Then God will be pleased with our lives. We talk about holy living, but where's the separated life? We talk lots about worship, but where is the soul that's filled with praise unto God, that's overwhelmed with the blessing and faithfulness of God? There's a heart of worship unto the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 15, verse 26. The good thing is that after this epistle, it seems that the church of Corinth got their act together, and we can get our acts together, amen, as the Lord is gracious. Look at this, Romans chapter 15, verse number 26. Verse 25, but now I go to Jerusalem, unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia. And look at that, and Achaia. That's Corinth. That's the church at Corinth. Okay, they're in the region of Achaia. There you go, there's the church of Corinth. The churches of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Amen. And Paul was going to take that down to Jerusalem. Okay, God is going to use the apostle to deliver that over there. Now, let's go back to chapter number 8 and we'll conclude with a few examples. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we'll conclude with a few examples of those that didn't just have a desire to do, but went ahead and did it. And he uses the example, first of all, of the churches of Macedonia. See, the churches of Macedonia, moreover, brethren, verse 1, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality, unto the gift that they gave, the liberality. For to their power, their ability, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, beyond their ability, they were willing of themselves. And this is good, they were willing. But their willingness translated into action, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. They begged the apostle, take the gift, take the gift, take the gift. Here it is, we've got it ready, take the gift. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, not as we expected, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. There's the surrender, and unto us by the will of God. There's the sacrifice of that offering, insomuch that we desired Titus to do that same grace in the church at Corinth, to fulfill that same grace. But here we see, brethren, that the churches of Macedonia were a wonderful example to the church at Corinth of what it means to perform the doing of it. Don't just say we're going to give, but here we are, it is a church that was in deep poverty, and in the depths of their poverty, they're giving this great gift of financial blessing to the poor saints at Jerusalem. What happened? Well, their willingness, they were willing of themselves, it translated into action. And God was pleased with that. And Paul was pleased with that. Go to verse number 9. This is another example of Christ, how he gave himself for us. It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. There's the example of Christ, the one who was rich in the sense that he was in heaven's glory and he was lifted up high above the heavens and the earth, becoming a humble servant, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's grace giving right there, where he sacrificed and laid down everything for mankind. What happened first? There was a willingness. But imagine God willed and never performed. Would we be recipients of the grace? The church, the saints at Jerusalem were not recipients of the grace of God yet, weren't recipients of the grace of that offering yet, because the Corinthians had failed to do their part. If God failed to do his part and he was just willing but not performing, where would we be now? In a Christless eternally, perishing forever without hope. But because God was not only willing, but he performed the doing of it, therefore you and I receive the benefits of that. And so in our lives, not only when we're willing, but we perform the doing of it, we receive the benefits in our lives. Not only when we're willing to help others, but you know, do the performing of it, then we help others in their lives. And brethren, desire is not enough. It's good, but it's not enough. 2 John 1:4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Not just talking truth, brethren, walking in truth. He says in verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, he says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also, the grace of giving. But not only that, the grace of performing that which we have desired to do. And he's saying, I want you to follow through this grace of giving, which you have committed to. You prove the sincerity of your love to the Lord, to the brethren, and you do that which you have decided to do. One preacher said this: obedience is the only reality. It's visible. It is visible faith, faith acting, and faith manifest. It is the test of real discipleship among the Lord's people. Obedience is the only reality. Remember that. Just because you think or desire, it doesn't mean that you've done it. Let's not deceive ourselves, brethren, but come to grips with this, performing the doing of it. Let's pray.